Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yes, it is. Hello there, kiddies. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and an addiction medicine specialist. And tonight, it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the show Tom Burbine. Tom is, I'm going to call an astrophysicist.
A planetary science specialist.
Yeah.
Scientist.
I think you get laid faster with that.
Okay,
astrophysicist. And Tom was one of the two very generous people that donated $15,000 to come on this program to the Tsunami Relief Fund. We went out to dinner with Tom and his lovely boy toy, Kevin.
Cohort.
Yeah, I don't think they're dating, but I'm positive they're having sex. And because they followed me out to the... out to the station, and I couldn't see Tom's head most of the time. I was looking in my rear view. I drove together.
Dude,
yeah. Kevin had a very satisfied look on his face and was missing a lot of shifts. So Tom is an interesting story, but I'll let him tell it on the air. What brought you here, Tom?
I've been listening to the show for a year, since 1999. While I was working on my PhD thesis, I would listen to Loveline.
At MIT.
At MIT. I would listen to Loveline from 10 to 12 and write my thesis. So I listened, and I was inspired. And one of the first episodes I heard was when Pennywise, like, barricaded you in the studio.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is the greatest show. Then I...
By the way, that was not a good time.
Yeah,
you didn't ask us to tell you that whole story. There's a whole story there.
And Drew...
Poopoo City.
We have a lot of stoned, semi-retarded listeners. Well, most all of them. Who MIT, it's like, hey, he goes to school that makes myths, I think is what they think. Explain a little, blow a little air up MIT's ass for a second. Would
MIT
you
stands for Massachusetts Institute of Technology. It's the top engineering school. All the sciences are either one or two, usually tied with Harvard or Caltech. I was a planetary science major, so I did research on asteroids.
And yeah,
it's a fun place. They had lots of monies.
Monies.
Yeah. I was able to take trips every year. I went to Prague. I went to Berlin.
Wow.
I went to Copenhagen, and it was fun. I saw Bill Gates there.
Wow. Yeah, like nerd off.
Yeah.
Calling all nerds. Showdown. Yeah.
And since everybody was so...
You hear that? You know the good, bad, and the ugly whistle? Tom goes for his pocket protector. Gates reaches for a slide rule.
And since everyone was so nerdy there, I was considered one of the cool guys.
No, I know. You are like the Chuck Heston of nerds.
Yes, yes. I would date the prettiest girls who lived in my dorm.
All relatives.
People wanted to hang out with me because I seemed like I was having the fun time.
Better to be the starting quarterback of nerds than sort of the third string guy on the football team.
You know
what I mean?
Yes, yes.
It's like sometimes when they say, you know, the guy, there's that one guy, all the other guys are playing like rugby and baseball, and this guy takes the ballet class,
right.
And everyone makes fun of him until they realize it's him and 26 chicks who have eating disorders and low self-esteem, and he has to work them out and stuff. It's like, no, wait a minute, genius, smart.
So that's
rude.
Yes.
Tom.
Yeah, and the girls
King
are much
of the nerds.
And the girls are much hotter there than you would think. They're much hotter.
Really?
Yes, yes. You walk around campus, you'd be shocked at what the girls look like.
So really?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Don't hold your breath.
So shocked.
He now teaches or is doing research and teaching in the Pioneer Valley where I went to college.
Yeah.
And he brought us gifts from the Pioneer Valley.
I love that. Drew, how often do I bring
that? Look at this. Look at that.
Yeah, that's Amherst. That's Drew's alma mater.
Jeffrey Amherst Bookstore.
Lord Jeff smoking a four-foot-long pipe and reading.
With little smallpox mixed in there.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get you something that had some meaning, so I got you an Amherst College t-shirt.
Oh, God bless you.
And, Drew, that's big
that
stuff for you.
That is huge. Oh, that's awesome.
Go,
and,
Lord Jeff. Nice.
I am your best buddy.
And I also got you an Amherst College mug.
Oh,
that's
I'm
huge.
I'm in heaven. It's huge. And my college never sends me anything.
Really?
Except requests for money.
I will make sure you speak there.
Thank
I will
you.
Make
a request.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Drew, this is your new mug.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. 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 Right this second. Yeah.
And Adam, I wanted to get you to have as much meaning for you as Drew's alma mater is to him. So I got you a Taboo 2 DVD.
Oh, my God.
You can never have enough of those. I'm sure you've had many.
No, I do. I have two, but now one for the SUV.
Yes.
Ever since they put the monitor in the headrest, I've been looking for something to do. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I might break into the theme at some point tonight, too.
Oh yeah. And because I got two Drew presents, I figured I'd you get a second one. And at dinner, you said you'd never seen this. I got you New York Minute.
Oh, awesome. This is great.
We watched that all afternoon. We critiqued it. We were so impressed with the
movie. I'm excited. You could have got me Drew's book, too. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, he knows better than doing that. That won't get read.
Well, when James Earl Jones does it on tape, you can get me that. That is awesome.
Look at that. We got to watch the outtake of the ending that didn't actually make it into the movie.
Listen, I guarantee. Look, you're talking to a guy who just got done watching all three the Karate Kid trilogy, and the fourth one actually with the chick. So. I will watch this as soon as I get home.
And
thank you, Tom. What?
And I got
There's
you
more.
Some food.
Wow.
Oh my
a
God.
A gourmet popcorn.
Wow.
And a tin, just in case you're ever trapped here and need to use that as a toilet. We got that just in case.
And this is a step up in toilets, compared to what you were picking.
Well, the decorative tin I used to crap into was a little bit taller.
Caramel Rocky Road.
Adam, wow.
Please.
Wow. Drew will go right through this.
Oh, my God.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
What a mensch you are.
Yes. Only the best for you guys.
All right. I want to talk. All right, Drew, put that lid on there. Is it empty enough to crap in yet, or should we eat a few more? It'll stick on there like a pecan log. Yeah. All right. Tom knows more about the asteroids in outer space than anyone we're ever going to get on this show. I'm curious. I've got about 100,000 questions, but I guess everyone's number one thing is what killed the dinosaurs, and when is something big going to hit this planet? And better yet, how much notice really would we have if something was really on a collision course with this planet, and what could we do about it?
It depends. I mean, there's nothing big that's going to hit the Earth in the near future. So we've seen a lot of the asteroids, probably bigger than a kilometer, and there's nothing on a collision course. But a lot of times, small stuff, like a few hundred meters, we don't see till it actually passes the Earth, so it could actually hit the Earth. And there's stuff all over space.
Now, when you say passes the Earth, you mean it could go around it and slingshot?
Yes, most of these things are actually in orbit around the sun. They're now in the orbit around the Earth.
But as it's passing, is there a certain distance from the Earth at which point it comes into view?
Yes. Usually, the bigger it is, it's easier to see. And so,
generally, give it an average.
These things go from the biggest asteroids about...
No, but I mean, would it be an hours before you...
It depends. If something's on collision course, we might see it or we might not.
So at all?
Yes. A lot of these things actually burn up in the atmosphere, so
So really, something could be on a collision course, something of a substantial size, and we might not see it.
Yes. There's telescopes, but they don't see everything. It's very underfunded. They spend money, but not that much money. It's usually some old guys sitting in a telescope looking for these things.
I've seen the movie. The guy's always sipping from a flask and nodding off when he catches a glimpse of something, and then he gets on the hotline. Yeah. Before you know it, you're waking the president up. Yeah. What's the president? It's always 4 in the morning when something hits? It can't be noon? Never present, just bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Hello, president. Yeah, I'm awake. What's up? He always has to do a thing where he goes for his glasses and says, sweet love of Christ. You know what I mean? I got to wake everyone up.
Yep. Yeah.
Nothing could happen at noon?
Of course not.
Yeah. All right, so we might not see it. Even if it was on a collision course.
Yeah, some comets go on these orbits, and sometimes they only pass around the sun once. So there could be a comet on the collision course right now, and we would not see it till it starts getting closer, and the volatiles start burning off. So.
Is there any
volatiles
plan?
Burn off.
Yeah, I love that. Is there any thing that, do we have any plan for shooting a missile at anything or doing anything like that?
People are doing studies. They're trying to actually blow up, or not blow up an asteroid, but divert an asteroid that's coming close that isn't not just a practice. Because what you want to do is just change the orbit. The problem is for actually destroying it is all the material would actually hit the Earth still. So you would actually
just
try to
do more damage. It'd be like a shotgun as opposed to a bullet, right?
Yeah. So they want to practice moving these things and just changing the orbit. So if we find one on a collision course, we could tell if it's going to hit the Earth maybe in a few hundred years. So that would give us enough time to actually divert its orbit. We would use our technology. They like to use neutron bombs because they wouldn't destroy the asteroid, but they give it a type of force to actually change its orbit.
Huh. I always feel sorry, like I said, for the good folks of Hiroshima and Nagasaki when they go, if an asteroid the size of a football field hit this planet, it would land with 500 times the force of Nagasaki. It always sounds like, what are they complaining about? Yeah. 500 times. Yeah, see, that's a lot. Yeah. What you got? Yeah, it was an explosion. It was like a firecracker. Yeah.
I've been to Hiroshima, and it's amazing the devastation. They have a model before, and all these buildings are there. And after, only about 3 buildings were standing. And the rest of the city was just devastated.
Evidently, that was like nothing. I mean, we were in our infancy with this device. You know what I mean? Now we have stuff that fits in lunch pails that could do 500 times that damage, which is freaky if you think about it. But whenever they talk about one of these asteroids or something, they talk about ones that, you know, the size of a Winnebago doing damage like Hiroshima. Is that true? What size would one have to be before, you know, size of a house, size of a football field?
Actually, I had my students calculate the mass.
It's not a chop.
About a million, I think about 1 million pounds would cause about the same damage as Hiroshima. It's all 1 FMV squared, so it's the mass times the velocity squared, and then they're coming down about 20 kilometers per second.
Well, first off, Chris has been talking about this, the velocity times the speed.
The impulse. It's called
inertia.
The impulse. Yeah. The impulse?
We've been talking our ear off about this stuff for the last few weeks. We never, until now, made any sense of it. But junior college math over here.
It's making sense now.
Did you say 1 million pounds?
Yeah, about 1 million pounds.
But what? And I know these things have a dense mass to them. Yeah. Like what size are we talking about physically?
I think a kilometer or two. It's not very big. I mean, it's about
a mile across.
Yeah, half a mile to a mile would cause severe damage to the Earth city.
But the thing is, what would happen? Would the Earth actually move?
The Earth would stay, but all the material, it'd be just like a nuclear bomb coming off. All the energy would be in a small place, boom, and all the material would be thrown up in the sky. So if something's big enough, like 5, 10, 15 kilometers, all the material goes in the sky, and supposedly it'll blot out the sun, and also there's going to be lots of forest fires. It'd be severe devastation.
If it hits in the water,
but
which is likely to
hit the ocean.
A tsunami. Yeah, so you're going to have gigantic.
But if you hit the ocean, you don't get the nuclear winter thing, right? Phenomenon? I mean, if it hits the water, you don't get the dust cloud, right?
Yeah, I would think not, but you'd have this huge tsunamis. I mean,
Well, listen, let the coastal communities deal with that. Yeah. I don't have to worry about that.
And the Earth requires ocean, so more likely it's going to hit in the ocean than the...
But I think if we're... first we pray it hits someone we don't like somewhere in the Middle East, number one. How's Allah going to explain this one?
Yeah.
Number one. But number two, we hope it hits a body of water more than it hits a landmass in terms of the overall destruction. I'm assuming.
I think water would be the worst because
it's
going to
do a ton of damage everywhere, but you're not going to get the cloud, which is going to block out the sun and create the nuclear winter thing for everyone to enjoy.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I live up on a hill.
Yeah. Now, the nuclear winter, though, is a theory.
Yeah, it's a theory, but there's a lot of material. They think an asteroid killed the dinosaurs, so these things. And it causes lots of damage. And the dinosaur, it thought the whole world was just covered with dust for years, hundreds of years. And just without any light, you have no plants and nothing to eat.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, can you talk about 1950 DA a little bit?
This is Anderson.
Engineer Anderson.
Yeah, 1950 DA. I want to know.
What's 1950 DA?
If I remember correctly, that was an asteroid that they thought was actually going to hit the Earth. What happens is people do calculations, and they try to predict if these asteroids will actually hit. But the problem is if you make any prediction, say it's going to hit the Earth at all, any probability, it becomes a huge news story. Then they get some more observations, and then they find out that
And that doesn't go on the
news.
Strangely enough, that's the way scientists report about the press.
Yeah. Right.
The headlines and then not the science.
Yeah, there's one actually like a year or two ago where the president was going to make a big speech for NASA, and they found an asteroid, and somebody did a calculation, and it looked like it was going to hit the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon, and so people were saying, should we actually call the president or not? But they found some more observations. They did a little more work, and they found out it wasn't even coming close. But that's the problem. Do you alert people with an initial observation, or do you just say, do you wait till you get some more data? So that's one of the...
So everyone panicked in this 1950.
Yeah.
A lot of panicking going on in the 50s.
No, that's when it was discovered, 1950. So,
I see.
So the asteroid, they initially give it a date with the year it was discovered, then the DA means, I think, what month.
When did it become an issue, though?
I think a few years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have an asteroid named after me. So.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, all my friends have asteroid names after me. So I'm asteroid 5159 Burbine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got a number? You have a number assigned your asteroid?
Yeah, yeah. They give it the number initially, and then they'll give it a name. So I was friends with all the people named asteroids, so they were nice, and they named one after me. So my little town, I was a little local celebrity, but people didn't know what it was. They thought maybe it was a comet, maybe it was a star. Who knows? But it was an asteroid.
Wow. But the bra is just come popping off when you get
I do use it sometimes.
Oh,
and stuff.
Sure. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. Other guys use a red convertible. You use an asteroid.
Sure.
But let me ask you this, and then we're going to the phones, Tom, because you know how the show goes.
Yes.
Knowing what you know, I'm curious if you're agnostic or atheist or you have a religious belief.
I'm Roman Catholic. My mother's Jewish. But I was raised Roman Catholic, so I go to church every week. I just went to church this morning, so...
Does your understanding of the universe deepen your religious convictions? You know, because I think the common belief is the more you know, the less you're religious you're going to be.
Well, at least the domain of God and the domain of the devil change.
Yeah, but
right.
at MIT, actually, the most religious people I met were actually at MIT. Either they were very religious or they were very atheist. They just...
Right.
Didn't believe anything. There was the extreme. If they were religious, they were super religious.
Right.
Yeah. But
and where do you fall on that?
I don't have a little interpretation of the Bible, but the problem is to get life on Earth, there was a lot of chance events that would happen, and my feeling is you can't really understand God, so I don't really even worry about it. But there was all these chance things that had to happen for life to exist on Earth. Maybe you had to form the planet Jupiter.
Yeah, but you study probabilities. You know electrons are probabilities. In space.
So, but the probability there's life anywhere else in the universe is, there probably is, but in the galaxy, who knows, there's probably about, like...
So,
how many planets have life in the galaxy? Go ahead.
Four? Nobody knows. We could be the only one. We could be the only...
Yeah. Well, I do know if there is other life, they kind of look like us. Their appendages are a little different than huge foreheads.
Big eyes.
They can accommodate those huge brains. And somehow they can build marvelous spacecraft, but they have like lobster claws. Like, I don't know. How do you turn an Allen wrench with that thing? Yeah, I don't know. And they must have enslaved people with digits or
right.
something
they
to do their work
with their
for
brain,
them.
All
right. That's right. They move things with their brain. There used to be a lot of that.
Star Trek?
Yeah, remember there used to be that in movies?
Yeah.
Like, it was the greatest special effect that you never had to pay for. It was just some guy, there's a close-up of a guy looking very stern, another guy screaming, clutching his forehead, stop it! Oh, I can't think! Ah! And he makes some weird wah, wah, wah. That's like, hey, wow. Talk about cheap special effects.
Yeah, use imagination the day.
Shot of you looking angry, me grabbing my head, yelling, make him stop. It's awesome. All right, let's talk to Kelly, who's 20. Kelly?
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up? Basically, like, me and my boyfriend, we've been dating for, like, 6 months, and we recently went to, like, Havasu Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We just got back today. And, like, somewhere around Friday night, like, I'm on the pill, but I didn't take it with me. And somewhere around, like, Friday night, like, probably midnight, we had unprotected sex, and then that followed with Saturday night and then Sunday morning. And I was wondering how long can I wait before taking the morning after pill?
Wait, you don't take the morning after. You're on the pill.
Well, that's...
Yeah, but she didn't take...
I know, but you have been on the pill up until Friday.
I haven't been on the pill, in about, a month and a half.
Oh. Why not?
Because we haven't really been, sexually active in about, 3 months.
Just a second. You can't go
on a houseboat with a guy in Lake Havasu and expect not to have sex.
What do women think? The guys are like not interested in that, or I don't understand. Oh, I didn't expect this. What? What do you mean?
Yeah.
That's all this guy thinks about for the moment he gets up.
It's denial. I mean, obviously. Yeah, look, yeah. if you took your family to Lake Havasu, you'd end up nailing your daughter. I'm sorry. That's the way it goes over there. If you got a houseboat, your family would have sex with your entire family. not just your wife. You'd get everyone.
Catfish before that.
Catfish, yeah. Family. No, everyone. Yeah, your sons, right. Dog, yeah. Everybody. Right. That's what the houseboat is.
All right, but you, how,
it's a house bed.
What's the longest period of time you can have passed before the pill's effective? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
4 days. Up to 5 days, really.
Five?
You're supposed to take it within 3 days, but some people have suggested you can take it up to five. So go get it right now, Kelly. You had sex on Friday, for God's sakes. Come on. Kelly?
Yeah.
Kelly, you're 20, yet you seem like you're having difficulty tracking. Are you okay? Junior college, by the way?
4 years.
4 years of junior college?
No, not a four-year college.
Which one? Northridge. What?
No, Fullerton.
All right. You're lucky I don't know enough to know what a horrible college that probably is.
Cal State Northridge, Cal State Fullerton.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's bad. Yeah, Tom scoffs at you, by the way.
Yeah, it's no Berkeley.
He's from MIT, yes. Yeah. All right, so Kelly, go get that morning after pill, would you?
Okay.
What do you mean, okay?
No, don't do it. Every second goes by, the effectiveness wears off. You have up to 72 hours, maybe up to 5 days to get some effect, but the best effect is the soonest after the intercourse, okay?
So basically, if we did it Friday midnight, from midnight that Friday night for three days till then, basically?
I don't know how to answer that, Kelly, except by repeating...
Let me tell you Kelly's hypothesis. It's 72 hours from the last time you had sex, so if she can just keep getting nailed, this could go on for infinity. You see, I mean, she could be in her 90s
getting
nailed.
Every 72 hours.
So your thing is like, I got nailed Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so it should be 72 hours from today.
Right. Or she's saying... Does it have to be taken at 72 hours? At 72 hours from the time
that would be awesome
I
if that's what she was saying.
It's just like pushing the reset button.
Wait, let's ask
that's
her.
Right.
Let's
she
ask
never.
Her. Come
you,
on.
You think you're going to get that out of her?
Let's see.
You're not going to get
okay,
that
let
out
me,
of her.
Let me make sure she understands. Okay, Kelly, first of all, you with me?
Yes.
All right, it's a phone number I want you to write down. 1-888.
She doesn't have a pen.
You have a pen?
She's writing with the kissing potion on the side of a pump.
1-888, not too late. Not too late.
Not too late.
You remember that?
Yeah.
So number two, and the number two, not too late. And they will refer you to a pharmacy that will give you the pill tonight without a prescription, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Do you understand that its effectiveness wears off and approaches zero after 72 hours? So the sooner you get it, the better.
Okay.
Take the pill now.
What was it you thought, how was it you thought it worked?
Okay, well, I basically thought, you had it for, 5 days, from the first time you had sex, when you first had intercourse, the first time, mm-hmm. to 5 days after that. You have it till 5 days, the morning after pill.
All right.
You have up to 3 days, but the effectiveness is at its least, at its nadir, the lowest, the longer you wait.
All right. So you just
get it now. You're 48 hours. You're 40 hours. You get about 70% effectiveness now, maybe 80. Okay.
Did you really expect, by the way, to go to Havasu and stay on a houseboat and not get laid?
I wasn't really expecting it.
Why would you go to Lake Havasu and not... What do you think he's there for?
It was just like a getaway. It wasn't supposed to be anything like that. I don't know.
Kelly, let's just one word of advice. One word of advice. Males' brains do not work like yours.
Getaway.
Not many.
Let me tell you the getaway. I'm going to get my semen away from my nutsack.
Yeah.
That's the kind of getaway.
I'm going to get away with nailing this chick. That's what that is.
Yeah, getaway. Sort of stretch his wings a little. Yeah, I know. Guys, you don't leave town with a girl.
I'm beginning to think that some of this stuff about women not preparing for birth control is not just denial. It's they literally don't understand how males think. So it surprised them. It's like, you want to have sex? Oh, I guess so. Okay. So,
well, okay, here's the thing with human beings. Take note, Tom. You think when there's a food you love,
everyone loves it.
You order it for
that's
the party.
Right, that's
you
right.
can't imagine
cashews,
they don't like
Adam.
It.
Cashews.
I love cashews.
And
I
think
can't
about
imagine.
Your buddies that don't
yeah,
like them.
But no, it's like, oh, give me 30 pizzas with anchovies. I can't imagine anyone doesn't like anchovies and pizza. And you're shocked and mortified when you find out somebody right. just cannot stand it.
Right.
Okay?
And by the way, next time you're still mm-hmm. ordering the anchovies.
Right. So the young lady says, well, we're going to have a suit unwind and relax. We're
doesn't
just going
to doesn't occur to her.
Reconnect emotionally. Yeah. There's not going to be anything physical. And the guy says, oh, yeah, yeah, that's
well,
where
not
we're
even
going.
She's not even thinking physical or not physical. It's like, what? Doesn't even occur to her. Doesn't
yeah, but if somebody said to you, even like your favorite food, and you said, don't you love the pasta fazool? And yeah. I went, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. You wouldn't argue with me.
Right,
you'd just
right.
order it up, and right. then you'd find out later I was humping you with right. it, raping you with a soup ladle.
Trying to follow.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break.
Yeah, we need a break.
Tom Burbine is here. Tom is a new, but yet dear friend.
Already a dear friend.
He generously donated 15 large to the Tsunami Relief Fund, which could be caused when one of his, probably asteroid with his name on it,
yeah.
crashes into the Indian Ocean. It'd be awesome if your asteroid took
yeah.
out
yeah.
several hundred thousand
yeah, I mean,
probably coastal
on the,
people.
I'd be on the cover of the USA Today, Newsweek, Time.
Oh, you'd definitely be brought up on charges. It's like when your dog...
You fight know, somebody.
Yeah, when he mauls the mailman, it's your fault. When your asteroid takes out a village, you're screwed. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Tom Burbine is in here. Tom is a he's a teacher, professor. He donated...
he's got it wired. He teaches at an all-girls school.
$15,000 right. to the Tsunami Relief Fund, and that got him on here. And we would have liked to have Tom anyway.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I take yeah. it as the highest compliment. This is the greatest day of my whole life.
And, no, don't say that.
Yeah, and the problem is I think anything that ever happens to me will pale in comparison to birth of my of a child, getting married. I'm a little
true.
Worried.
It's true.
We
yeah,
have to be
it's
to
all
going to
be a fast free fall after you leave the studio. Tom has made the pilgrimage from where exactly?
South Hadley, Massachusetts. I live right next to Mount Holyoke College.
And you teach at?
UMass Amherst. So I teach a...
going to start in the fall.
I teach in class in Mount Holyoke, a class in asteroids in the fall. But this semester, I'm teaching a class in astronomy 100, just basic information for a class of 300 UMass Amherst students.
I was just telling him a little known fact that I played John Proctor in The Crucible at Mount Holyoke College in 1977.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's on like three-quarter tape somewhere.
No, I don't think anybody ever taped it. It was a
really?
Theatrical thing.
Yeah, they should film. You know, aren't the nerds from the AV Club out just looking for excuses to bust out
1977,
the,
a video
no,
camera?
I mean, no, they had one the size of a
of Winnebago. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's the one, you know, Bob Crane used to use, you know.
Oh, yeah, making his videos.
Yeah. Yeah. All go. Right, so Tom is here hanging out. We had dinner with Tom and his lovely life partner,
no.
Kevin.
No,
they're straight.
Yeah. Me and Kevin have a bet who can get the lightest girlfriend, so pretty much if you date another guy, you would lose the bet. So,
I see.
So we stay heterosexual that way.
Yeah, they're both... Both geniuses.
Now, Tom brought in the New York Minute for Adam Doyle. Are you going to watch this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Seriously?
Absolutely.
You heard him.
Yeah, it is.
I don't believe it.
No, it is funny. You'll get a lot of enjoyment out of watching it.
Not necessarily the way it was intended.
Maybe not.
Okay.
And actually, it's kind of high budget. They have, like, split screens.
I know.
And it's not like a TV movie. It's a real movie.
It was a big deal, yeah.
No, it was Drew plays the father of the Olsen twins on it. Stephanie?
What are you going to say, Tom? He's going to say something.
Nah.
I could feel it coming.
Better he doesn't. Stephanie?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah, I'll be 18 tomorrow.
All right. Well, happy birthday. What's up?
Because me and my mom, we haven't talked for a long time because she got kicked me out when I was 14. And,
why?
Why'd
she kick you out?
A lot of reasons.
Give me one.
Because I didn't like my stepdad.
Okay.
All right.
I like him because he's a very bad man. He molested my little brother.
Bless your little brother. I have no doubt that you're absolutely right, but go ahead.
She kicked me out, and I've been on my own for a long time. And my birthday's coming up, and I was wondering, like, if I should call her or... I'm not sure, because me and my mom has been having problems for a long time.
All right.
How do you support yourself? How do you support yourself now? How do you live?
Off of other people.
Do you go to school?
No.
No.
Do you work?
No.
No, she like panhandles, right?
Are you prostituting yourself or something?
No.
Are you doing drugs?
No.
Okay.
Well, what do you do? How do you get money?
I live off of my cousin and my friends and off of other people.
You should mooches.
Yeah, but huh? But I mean, physically, they just lend you money, or do you panhandle?
I panhandle and they lend me money.
All right.
Stephanie, I don't think you should contact your mom unless you're A, willing to reconcile with her, or B, have established something independent of her that you can rely upon and call your own. Because otherwise, it's going to be just chaos when you call her.
All right, Stephanie. Huh? All right, let me explain something.
Okay.
We got a couple of guys with 70 years of college under their belt in the room, but it's a genius that's talking now. So
okay.
Here's the thing. You're not going to get what you want from your mom. It's going to be disappointing.
Probably not.
In the movies, everyone sees the light and turns a corner. In reality, they just get worse. Or at best, just sort of deny what went on in the past.
Right.
And whatever it is,
crazy stepdad's still there.
It's unsatisfying.
And mom is still the person that marries the sexually abusive boy, you know, dad.
Yeah, you got a lot of energy going into thinking about what could be done with mom. That energy should be going into what can be done with Stephanie right now and tomorrow. You need to get a job. You need to just get some kind of job. As a matter of fact, I'm going further in a job. You need to sign up for the military. You need to get in a structured environment.
Not funny. You serious.
You got to get your ass kicked a little bit because you're basically like a feral child.
Yeah.
And, I think I got my ass kicked enough by my mom.
No, I'm not talking about verbal and sexual abuse. I'm talking about a DI hitting a wooden spoon in a trash can at 6 a.m. and getting your stoned ass out of bed to do some push-ups and some chin-ups on the obstacle course.
Yeah.
You need
give me
that.
Your mother effing shoes. Give me your shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's scared straight, actually.
But, Stephanie, yeah, you do need some structure. You might want to throw yourself on the mercy of the Department of Social Services or somewhere that you can get some maybe vocational rehabilitation, help get set up, because you don't know how to do this. You've never done it. That's why Adam's saying the military.
No, but let me say...
Military's not a bad idea, by the way.
No, it's not at all. Here's the thing. When you're dumb and you're depressed... You're like a battery that has no life in it. And you just walk through life. You sort of sleepwalk, bumping into things, asking for handouts. Everything becomes about survival.
Yeah.
Not about thriving, but it's all about surviving. You need to be thrown into some environment that has a ton of structure. Because if you think about what success is and what successful people do, everything is always structured for
internally,
them.
Internally, yeah.
Always structured. Their family unit has structure. Their schooling has structure. Their church has structure. Sports have structure. Whatever. Yep. Cheerleading. It's all structure. You're at 18. I grew up with a bunch of these people. They've never seen any structure, and they have no idea how to do it.
I wonder if countries that have mandatory military obligations have as many homeless people and panhandling and that kind of thing.
No, it's impossible. And you can.
Interesting. No one ever brings that up.
But a lot of the homeless that you go to Italy are all gypsies, so they're
not citizens.
They're not citizens. Yeah. And usually the people who have to join the military, anybody with any brains gets out of it somehow. Either they fake an illness or they leave the country.
Right. That's what we got here, except for you don't have to do it. Stephanie.
Yeah.
You just, you need structure, sweetie.
I guess. I don't know.
Uncle Corolla's right on this one.
No, listen, I know you'll fight it with every fiber in your soul because that, to a guy like Drew... We went out to dinner with Drew tonight. It was 9 o'clock. Drew was like, "What's going on? What are we doing? What are we doing? Where are we going?" I said, "Well, here's the thing, Drew. The studio is 13 minutes from where we sit. So if we leave now, we'll just get there at 9:15." And it's about a minute and a half later. Drew's like, "What are we doing now?" "Well, we're going to sit here and talk." "Well, why aren't we doing something?" See, Drew, you without straight, you're I'm going to put it in time. You're like a planet that would just spin out of orbit. You need your gravitational pull of structure in order to stay in your orbit. Otherwise, you would just spin out. Or at least that's the fear. The reality is you wouldn't do anything. You'd just sit there with a couple of people and have a conversation for another 18 minutes. But your mind has got to be racing. Like, this is insanity. What are we doing? We're not doing anything.
Adam's your son.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Not S-O-N.
Be careful with him.
S-U-N. And Drew, you got to dinner with Drew, too. Drew eats his food like a grouper. eats like a giant sea bass, eats a smaller fish. So his food is completely evaporated within 13 seconds, and now he starts tapping his fork on the table. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? I'm waiting for my salad. That's what we're doing. Relax. True. All fired up over there. Stephanie?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. You're depressed.
She needs a dose of what I have.
I'm
like the multi-orgasmic female. I've sucked all that up.
You need
some other people need some of what I have.
You really, you need Job Corps. You need the military. You need to go sign yourself up for something and go do it.
I tried to get Job Corps, but my mom wouldn't sign the papers.
You're 18 now. Go tomorrow.
And by the way,
that's not funny.
Let me tell you something. Hold on. Attention, all idiots. Don't give us lame excuses when we're 10 times as smart as you are. You're 18. You're emancipated. Go sign your papers.
Tomorrow. All right. Good girl.
Yeah. Okay. Go to Job Corps. Just go do it. You need structure. I'm sorry for the hand that
then
life
you,
has dealt
then
you,
then
but
you
take
call your
control.
Mom. Then you call your mom. When you're in a position that you have a life, you call your mom. Okay?
Well, I mean,
Job Corps.
I wanted my mom to be part of it. You know
no,
I mean?
No,
I know,
Stephanie, that's your pathology talking. It's going to be very disappointing trying to get her, drag her along into something that's yours.
Your mom's, listen, Stephanie, your mom's not a good person. You potentially are. Let's not end up like your mom.
Well, okay.
Let's go to Job Corps.
I'm thinking because, okay, my mom had 10 kids, right? And
10 kids.
10 kids.
Yeah, 10 kids, dude. It's funny because her thing is once you're 18, you're on your own. But I tried, like, all my mom's kids, we try to get her to see that she has, even if I turn 18, she's has two more left. She has my little brother and my little sister, you know? And then it's funny because the other day, me and my sisters, we were sitting around the table and we were thinking about the first time my mom cussed us out, you know, not the first time she, like, took it to a party.
All right, hey, Stephanie.
Yeah, I'm
job,
here.
I don't want to hear anymore. Just go to
job.
That's
all. You're all completely focused on your mom. You got to focus on yourself.
Don't get pregnant.
This is not Stephanie and Mom. This is Stephanie. Go.
Drew, how much have your parents changed? Or how much have you been able to change them in the last 30 years?
No. Or have my kids change me? No. Yeah.
All right. Impossible.
Right.
It's impossible. Whatever your parents were when you were 9 is what they are at 19, at 29, 39,
unless somebody gets some treatment. I mean, we treat parents all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, they could stop huffing copier toner or something. But other than that, their basic construct, their personality is not
right.
going to change.
But even when we have addicted children, we end up treating the parents and trying to bring them along. And they change in treatment.
She's got 10 kids she doesn't care about.
No.
You're number 8 or you're number 6, whatever you are.
Whatever.
Join the brood of folks you don't care about. You'd be better off with a, you know, German Shepherd as a mom.
Now, Tom, you see, you've got this auctioneer over here. If you actually want to talk, you got to just jump in and just talk
over
him.
Right.
Don't
yeah,
worry about it. Just pile on. Don't just listen to him. Pile on. Okay.
I'm just enthralled.
No. Stop that.
Yeah.
Stop that.
And
that won't do.
I can see it's a problem.
Not do.
Enthralled.
Not do. We need, we need you jumping all over him, right?
He's fine.
No, this is good. What I wanted to learn was how much you actually make panhandling. I mean, is it $10 a day? Is it $5 a day? Is it?
Well, it depends. If Drew walks past you, it's zero.
Come on.
Stephanie?
Yeah?
You'll never get a good answer, but how much do you make doing the panhandling each day?
Depends on who you get it from.
Thank you. All right.
Love line calls.
Thank you. There you go. Well, Tom.
Yes, there you go.
That's
the ultimate love line experience there you've had.
No different than any of your calculations you've done on a computer. It's an exact number. She even got down to the tenths of a penny.
And you know what? We go back and ask her, you'll get the same response.
Yes. Depends. Yeah, I always like that. It's like, what kind of weather is over there in Southern California? Depends what day it is. Okay. Fantastic. Question answered. Check that box. Let's keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Well, now that we're all experts on the income of panhandlers, we can move forward in our
life.
But
you know what's crazy? They have to, if you ask them to generalize or give an average, they won't. But if you ask them a specific, then they won't do that either. They'll go back to the general.
Right. So it depends.
I'm just shocked she can use the phone. It knows all the numbers and able to press the buttons. And
oh, yeah. That is, you can teach anyone to do that. But she it depends who goes by. You get one lump. Okay.
She has a prostitution.
Let's take a break. Tom Burbine is here tonight. He, sounds like one of the largest dealers of custom van vans in the Inland Empire. Town Burbine's custom vans and RVs. You're the guy echoing, it's dealing days at Town Burbine's. And then you just stand
dealing days.
You just stand like, this kind of thing I'd see Stone at like 3 in the morning, you in front of a custom van. You talking about making fun of SUVs, talking about captain chairs. Yeah, jumping from one van to the next. I always like when they do. There is a guy who does the custom van sales at like 2:30, 3 in the morning out here. And my favorite is the Stooge accomplice, where he goes like, "Cheryl, try to get into what? Try to get in that SUV. Go ahead and try to get in that Explorer. Oh, Tom again, try to get in." And she's like bending herself into a pretzel to get into the back of Ford Explorer. She's like, "Now get in one of our custom Ram vans. It's beautiful. It's spacious." But it's like when the 5'3" chick can't make it into the 4-door SUV. She can't not going to make it in the Suburban. Urban, can't make it in. I have to grease myself and get a running start, Tom. I like when they complain, too. Get into the SUV, Cheryl. Oh, again, Tom? No, please. No captain's chairs in those SUVs. Tom Burbine, largest van, custom van outlet in the Inland Empire. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll be right back after this. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Our guest tonight, Tom Burbine, largest seller of custom Ram and Dodge vans in the Inland Empire. They carry their own papers, Drew. Hey, foreclosures, bankruptcies, divorce, bring it down. It's dealing days. Burbine, Dodge. Yeah, Tom Burbine is here. Tom is one of the winners. We had two. Tom's our favorite one. I know. It's they're like your children, but yeah, you know, this is Sophie's choice. I got to pick Tom.
Thank you.
Tom is out here. He generously donated 15 large to the Tsunami Relief
and
Fund.
And came with gifts.
And brought gifts. I'm going to see New York Minute.
Which Drew's, I'll hold my breath.
Latest joint. it's going to be awesome. And then I'm going to start off by watching Taboo 2, but finish with New York Minute when
Drew
hits the screen. Yeah. Awesome. So I got my night plan. Tom is out here for just another day, and then it's back to Mass. Yes?
Yes. I have a test on Thursday, so I have to go back and prepare this.
Do you fly to Bradley Field, or are you flying
to Boston? I fly to Chicago. I flew first class because I used my freaking flyer mile, so
nice.
I wanted to do everything first class because it's a first class show.
Yeah.
Which one? Let's talk about
Yeah. Took him out to a lovely dinner tonight.
No, it was really good food.
Had a nice conversation, a little red wine, and Drew was ready to go at 9:03. But didn't know where to go. So we sat there.
That's a true story.
Fidgeted. All right, let's talk to Jeff, who's 21. Jeff?
Yes.
What's up?
All right, I met a girl that's 28. I'm 21 at a party like a week ago. And then I met up with her yesterday, and she was telling me that she doesn't want a relationship. She's not looking for sex. She's not looking for anything.
All right, and then you just parted ways?
No.
Oh.
30 minutes later, she had her tongue down my throat.
Mm-hmm. Was it attached to her?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And then what happened?
We hung out for a few hours and got drunk, and then we all crashed at a hotel.
No sex?
No sex.
What?
No sex?
Nope.
All right.
Wow. Well,
first off, what a raconteur young Jeff is.
Oh, he
Nobody
paints
spins a yarn like Jeff.
Beautifully.
Poetic. I wish I could write that fast. Do you guys have sex? Huh? Do you guys have... Nope. All right. Wonderful. Stuff dreams are made of, Jeff. All right, so your question then is...
What should I do?
About not having sex with some 28-year-old chick you kissed?
No, should I pursue it or what?
All right, Jeff's another guy needs directions. Give him some direction. Go ahead, but if she tells you no, that she's not interested, believe her. Don't keep going after it. This is somebody...
Well, I don't understand.
I smell chaos.
I farted, actually.
No, beyond the fart, I smell chaos.
Oh, okay.
And you're 21, she's 28.
That's couscous.
Did you say she has... That's nice. Did you say she has a child?
Yeah, she does. A 1-year-old.
No, Jeff, come on. She told you no.
Well, I don't understand what her thing is. She said she wanted no type of relationship whatsoever.
Nothing. She is not looking for anything.
Yeah. All right. Well, first off, let me just say this. Tom will jump in because I'm guessing he's got a number of kids floating around the country. He probably doesn't even know about going to the Star Trek conventions. A lot of chicks.
Yeah, I almost went to a Star Trek event. I wanted to see William Shatner, but it got canceled because not enough people
showed up.
Yeah, bought tickets. So I had to go to a comic book convention instead down in Dallas.
Shocking. I was just kidding, by the way. But here's what I'm saying. I think a lot of women that are 28, that have a one-year-old, that are single, feel like there's a little, like the little damaged goods in a certain sense, like their number isn't as high as it could be, so they do a preemptive strike. But they do like a little reverse psychology thing, which is instead of waiting for the person to dump them when they find out about the baggage, they go, I got a kid and I want nothing to do with you.
It could be that, I agree, but the fact is 28-year-olds and 20-year-old women often tell younger men, no, you're too young for me, I can't deal with this.
Jeff.
Yes.
You're in way over your head.
Like
if you were taking one of Tom's astrophysics classes.
Find a girl your own age, Jeff.
Right.
There you go.
Without a child.
Go ahead and make it a 19-year-old. I'd dip down a couple of years.
I can't find younger girls.
You can't find any girl, Jeff. That's why you're going for the desperate
Jeff, here's what you need to do. Focus on your own ass. Get your career going. Get your job going. Get your school going.
Get some hobbies going.
Get your life going.
Comic books, and Star Trek, like Tom.
I got that going.
Okay. All right.
He has the comic books going.
You're in over your head with this one. You don't want anything to do with her. Believe you me. It's going nowhere. It's like heroin. It's like you try it. Either you throw up or you love it. Right? Mm-hmm. What if you two fall in love? It don't do it. Just go find a young chick.
What's your job, Jeff?
Gone. We got to get him out.
We got to take a break. And I'm junior college. Now I'm going nuts. What's your job, Jeff?
I work at UPS.
All right, fine. We'll Tom Burbine here tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Who? Dr. Drew.
This is Tom Burbine. Did you hear that, Adam? He was insulting us. Did you hear what he said?
Dr. Who?
He said, I give smart too much credit.
No,
yeah. He was looking right at both of us.
I went to see Dr. Drew speak at a book sign once, and I was so impressed.
You did?
Yes, yeah. I went to the one. I think it was in Fairfax.
I thought Shatner was going to be there originally.
In Washington?
It was in the Virginia area. You went with another guy. I don't know what his name was. And I got
his traveling companion.
Yeah, and we got a book sign. There was a rabbit there. Somebody had brought a rabbit to the book signing.
A rabbit?
A rabbit.
Tom later killed it and then wrote "I Need You" in the rabbit's blood on the car rental car windshield and the Taurus windshield. Remember saying that?
In my kitchen?
Yeah.
Was it a man in a rabbit suit or
it was an actual real rabbit that someone brought and you said, "Oh, there's a rabbit there."
Are you sure it wasn't just a really good suit?
No, it was a real rabbit someone had brought.
Some of those rabbit suits are so realistic that you just really can't tell.
No, I asked that because I remember...
I've been burned.
I remember I was at somewhere, I think it was Princeton that had a rabbit suit, but this was a bookstore in outside Washington, D.C.
Yeah, outside Washington, D.C. Yeah, so I took the bus out there, I got the sign, and I was very impressed with your speaking ability. Any question, you would answer succinctly to the point, and you actually seemed to care about the people, everyone who asked the question.
I do. This is what Adam tries to beat out of me.
Yes.
No, I mean, that's part of his genius is the illusion
making
of caring.
Like
yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm like any great magician. They don't actually possess magical skills, but the sleight of hand.
My nephew today was trying to get my son to off a chair, and his sister goes, "What's the magic word?" And he goes, "Abracadabra." Like, to make him disappear.
The magic word. Yeah. This is a magic.
I want him to disappear. It's abracadabra.
Magic word, yeah.
And I was also impressed how good looking you were, because it never gets mentioned on the air.
We're getting to it. Now we know why I popped down
why
the 15
here.
Grand across country.
Oh, and I got to put out too, don't I?
Well, for 15 grand, I think that's good for at least a reach around.
What am I going to do?
Drew, as a physician, you're trained to sort of tune out as you're doing these sorts of things.
Put my patients first, especially when somebody's laying themselves out for such a good cause.
Put a little extra talc in that glove, reach into it, and just pretend working on like a fisher on an old man or something.
Yeah, pulling out some colon or something.
Yeah.
I can just appreciate human beauty, so.
Yeah, no, you're secure with your sexuality.
Yes, you're gay.
Yeah. I like the guys that are so straight they can't comment on other guys' looks. Like, yeah. I don't know Brad Pitt. I don't know if he's a troll or he's Adonis. I'm a dude. I can't judge other dudes. I can't judge.
They're outraged. How can I judge? What's the matter with you?
Yeah, right? I can't do it. Like, I ain't gay. I'd have to blow a guy if I wanted to actually judge another man's.
No, I saw Troy. He's a good-looking guy. I mean, if there's anything wrong with that.
I'm amazed you were at that bookstore. I remember that bookstore. Was it kind of had a coffee shop attached to it?
Yeah. And then they had juice and cookies. And I got a book signed, and I had somebody, some girl take my picture, and then you asked if she was my girlfriend. And I said, I wish. That was my joke.
Yeah.
How was she?
She was pretty pretty and stuff. And I took a picture, and then I mailed it to her, so.
You mailed it to her.
Yeah. She gave me her address. She was
oh, really?
The girl, but she was with her boyfriend. So yeah.
That was an interesting girl.
And I asked the question, do you ever get mad at Adam? And then you said, oh, I get mad at Adam all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Wow, you're photographic.
Yeah, I have a very good memory. It's a curse.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's from not doing enough drugs and not getting laid.
Yes, I agree.
Guys just screw all the time. Have zero memory. They don't remember when the last time they got laid was. Ironically, it was 20 minutes ago.
They're not replaying it. They're going to the next one.
They're like, I can't remember when. Oh, wait a minute. There's a vagina on my penis. I guess the answer is now. Okay. Yeah. But zero memory.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to recall things. You don't have to replay them. You just act them.
They're there.
You have to recall the stuff to use it in your rituals.
I really do think getting laid affects your memory. Remember those guys in high school that were getting laid all the time? And you'd like go, hey, dude, remember I saw? And they'd be like, what'd you do? Did you play Pop Warner football? Like, they never know who anyone is. They don't know their team. They're like, they go home and their parents are there, and they're like, there's these two older folks that are in my living room. Yeah, it's your mom and your dad. I'm sorry, get laid. I have no memory. Yeah. Jessica?
Yeah.
There she is.
Hi. 17. I have a question. Okay, last month on the 14th, I stopped my period, and then 10 days later on the 24th, I started again, and I'm still on it now.
And you've never had irregular periods before?
No.
Are you on medication?
No, but about a month ago, I got off my birth control pills.
And what pills were those? What's the name of them?
What brand?
What kind?
The birth control pills.
Yeah.
They were ortho-tricycline.
Tricycline. And were you menstruating normally on the pill, or were you having spotting?
No.
You were not having spotting, and you were menstruating normally?
Yeah.
All right. Well, coming off the pill can do that occasionally. Is there any chance you're pregnant?
No. Because, me and my boyfriend broke up, but we hadn't had sex for like 2 months already.
You can still be pregnant. It's possible.
When did you stop the pill?
About a month ago. But we were not sexual a month before that.
All right.
All right, so this has something to do with you coming off the pill. It may regularize by itself within a month or two. Sometimes it can take up to 6 months for your periods to regularize after getting off the pill when you've been on it for a period of time, particularly the shot, the Depo-Provera, can be a while before things get back to normal. If it keeps bleeding or if it's very heavy, definitely check with a gynecologist, okay?
Okay.
But it doesn't necessarily mean anything. There are a lot of things that can cause that kind of bleeding, pregnancy being number one amongst them, and tubal pregnancy is the thing you really worry about.
Mm.
Ovarian cysts, infections.
So should I check if I'm pregnant, or?
I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to take a pregnancy test. I know that's what the doctor will do as soon as you go over there.
What do those things cost, by the way, over the counter now?
The pregnancy test?
Are they like 12 bucks?
I think they're probably 12 bucks.
They used to be kind of expensive.
Yeah, I know it's like 30 bucks to get a drug test. You're in drug screen. That's for a bunch of stuff.
You can get that over the counter?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Pee.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of brands.
Really? You just go to the farm and go to the...
And you get a urine toxicology, urine drug screen. Most of them you pee and you send them in.
Uh-huh.
And they give you like a preliminary read, then you get the confirmatory stuff back.
Really?
Yeah.
So how long does it take?
I think a week, something like that, to get the results.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what about, what's a stool sample going to do for you? Nothing? Because I want to get stool.
Depends what you want to use it for.
I'm going to send stool in. But... really?
Stool, probably right away.
So how do you wait? So it's like if you have a troubled teen, you got to go get some of their urine. It's gonna be great when you start testing your kids in about 6 months.
Yeah,
it's great.
I'm gonna do it.
You can say eating disorder. It's gonna be awesome. That's
It's awesome. It's a modern time, dude. You live in the old ages.
All right, but Drew, listen to me. You are going to screw those kids up, and it's all going to be under the guise of, I'm doing it because I care. Meanwhile, you're gonna screw them up. Just relax. You don't have to screen them for drugs. let them do something first. Uh-oh. Oh, Drew, you got too much energy. You're gonna screw them up with that energy going into them. Screening them for drugs? That's
something
that
really should be done more frequently. I really believe that.
Really?
It should be part of health maintenance for adolescents.
But
you take them to the doctor, get checked. Why wouldn't you check that?
Well, you don't. I mean, when will you take them to get a physical for football or something?
There's health maintenance for adolescents, and that would be a key thing.
Yeah, but why not just send them straight to rehab then? I mean, why not take any chances, you know? Maybe they're swapping urine with the neighbor kid who's a Jehovah's Witness.
There's a lot of urine home screening right now, a lot.
The Lord Fauntleroy School
for albino
hemophiliacs. Not in North Hollywood High. There's no drug screening going on over there.
Doing drugs and getting away with it. Yeah.
True. Here's what I'm saying. Let the kids find some weed in their drawer or something first, or let them look glazed over or something. No, they're not hooked at that point. Look, first off, you think those kids could smoke pot for 2 years before you found out about it?
No.
I give them 2 minutes.
Yes.
Okay. So, the very first time either any of your kids dabble in anything, you're going to know
probably that
afternoon.
Yes.
Okay? You're going to be driving your car, and all of a sudden, your head's going to start turning to the side because your kid's going to be sucking on a foil pipe somewhere when he should be in the homeroom. And you're going to get this weird thing. It's going to be like scanners. Your head's going to explode. Okay? So, here's the thing. You don't need to screen your kids for drugs because they can't do drugs. The screening isn't going to prevent them from trying it the first time. You will know the day they do it.
Well, not everyone.
You're probably right.
Yes, I have uncanny instincts with that stuff. But
not only that, but you'll be looking for it.
And the main thing, but the point is, I think parents should, you know, I'm trying to do as I tell other parents too, which is get used to this. It should be something.
Yeah,
to do.
But they don't have.
I know they don't have the superhuman powers.
Deputy dog sitting across from the dinner table. I mean, you got McGruff at the dinner table.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah, you will know. I mean, just look at it that way. You will know.
Oh, I tell them that all the time. I said, you guys, you got it bad.
Oh, they're never going to be able to do anything, but you don't have to screen them. That's going to slow down the process. You have to wait for them to whiz in a cup. You're going to know before they go to the bathroom.
You're right.
All right, so don't bother.
Em's going to be so happy when he hears your kids are on drugs.
That's going to be awesome.
I'm just going to be happy when Adam is a kid.
I bought a dime bag from my Drew's youngest today. It's awesome. He didn't give me a break, though. I was kind of pissed about that. He's a businessman. All right, he's stealing from a van. Sean?
Yeah,
so you're giving them eating disorders. They're good kids. Give them a little space. Sean,
yeah,
they got to be kids.
Taking advice from Uncle Adam.
Yeah, believe me, Sean, you're 20.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you can't put the screws to them. They're good kids.
You're absolutely right. And my thing, it's not about putting the screws to it. It's about not putting the screws to it. It's about having a structure in place, and if they fall through, that's it. It's up to them.
Yeah. Daily urine checks is structure.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I know. We just submit a semen and a DNA sample before you leave the house every day.
Yeah, it'll become a normal habit for them.
Yeah,
what I'm saying.
Yeah. Police motorcycle escort to school. You'll have your own attaché that is dispatched to you. A guy with an earpiece and wraparound sunglasses just standing next to your desk in your homeroom. Just talking into his cufflink. Drew back at home base monitoring. Now he's got you on GPS. He's reports there's trouble with one of the chips that he's inserted. One of the child. This is not a tracking chip. He sees what the child sees.
Yes,
he can tell if he's coughing from the Asian kids.
It's like
calc paper.
Being John Malkovich.
Yeah. Actually, you will actually have three separate screens, and you'll sit in a darkened room. You actually see what they're seeing, and it'll be weird when they burst into the room and see you looking at you, and it's just going to infinity because they're looking at the screen and they're looking at you. Look at the screen.
I can't wait for that.
It'll be awesome.
It'll be great.
Awesome. Sean?
Yeah.
You're 20.
Yeah. I've had a problem with proper erectile function since I started having sex, like around 18. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't really gone away, and it hasn't gotten worse. It's pretty much been the same. It doesn't have to do with drugs or drinking. Like, I'm off any of that.
What Sean, pray tell, is improper about your erectile function?
Like, not being able to perform with a woman.
What does that mean?
Getting it up.
You can't get it up in the first place?
Yeah.
So you've never had intercourse with a woman?
No, I have. But I'm just saying, on several occasions, when I need to, I can't. And I think it's normal for me at this young of an age to not be able to perform or get it up or whatever.
Well, all right, hold on. Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
Have you ever?
Yeah.
You need to, I mean, unless you have some sort of, you know, vascular problem,
work
you need
out.
Just to find a girl and work it out.
Right.
How about just getting a girlfriend? Because here's the thing. Your nerves. Here's what I want to say. I don't think anyone would be good at anything if Drew.
If you're nervous.
If you had to do. Well, no, let's not use you. Let's use me.
Because I'm always nervous.
I have to do work on this radio show. But if I had to do this radio show, and I just did it one. I did one a year. That's all.
Yeah.
Just 364 like
Tom,
days later.
Making him nervous.
Show up. Yeah. And if I had. It'd just be like, hi, I'm Alan. And that's Dr. Juju. And this is Love Bone.
As it is, you don't even know you're on the radio.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure we're here. The point is, Drew, can you see what I see? Have you planted a chip in me?
Yeah.
Drew's going to put a chip in his kids. Something awesome. The point is you need to find a girlfriend. You get that girlfriend, you work it out. Like any job, you do it every day. It becomes very easy.
I agree with one brief little interlude here. Can I talk to him for a second?
Yes. Yes, you may.
Sean Adam is absolutely right that it's probably anxiety, it's probably they need to work things out, but you do need to be checked out to make sure there's not a medical problem. Do you have a normal sex drive?
Yeah, I would say so.
Do you have normal body hair?
Body what?
Hair distribution on your body?
Yeah.
Normal stature?
Yep.
No other medical problems?
Nope.
No medications?
I'm on Wellbutrin now, but it's been going on since before then, so...
All right, well, but obviously somebody thinks there might be a psychiatric problem.
Yeah.
So that maybe that's what's causing this disorder.
So how do you think I should go about fixing it?
I think maybe... who is a psychiatrist prescribing the Wellbutrin or a general doctor?
It's Gardner.
It's a general doctor.
Yeah, I think Wellbutrin, to me, would be... It's an interesting choice. It will not affect your sexuality or your erectile function, but it'll make your anxiety. But it can make your anxiety worse. Mm-hmm. And if anxiety is your problem, that may not be such a great choice. And I would want to see an expert before I took something like that. A, B. Adam gave you good advice about taking care of the problem and working it out once you get the psychiatric problem properly assessed.
Yeah. Just get a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Have you had the problem every time you've been with a girl?
Not every time, but I mean, it's usually with like. It's usually with a girl like
New
I
ones.
Really
want. I'm bored. He's anxious.
Yeah.
He's got to work it out. Well, look,
but I'm anxious too.
Yeah, you do.
Not a
but your passion takes
precedent.
I wouldn't say precedent, but it's in the driver's seat.
You know, speaking of that, I'm going on Anderson Cooper tomorrow night, and we're going to go over my.
No one knows who Anderson Cooper is.
He's a CNN show, like at 7 o'clock or something, and we're going to do my brain scans.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, they're doing a male-female thing. I had a functional MRI scan looking at pornography.
Wait till you get that home MRI thing to pass your kids through.
I don't need that.
It's going to be great.
How dare you?
It's going to be like an Israeli airport.
I have chips.
You have screenings, lunch pail screenings. There's going to be pat-downs before they come in and leave the house. They're
just
going to be doing random SWAT.
It's just going to be normal for them. They're just going to get used to it.
It's going to come in the front door and a little red light. Sir, step aside. Sir, take the belt off. Dad, sir, please, hands out. Please take shoes off, sir. And then you can do that wipe down thing with the swab. You find some chalk and a little marijuana residue on the kid.
It goes
right through the computer.
You know, I was at the airport the other day, and they yell something, and then they freeze. Have you been through this?
Yeah, it's like on Wonderama.
What happens on Wonderama?
They yell something, they freeze.
Okay.
Yeah, remember Wonderama?
Bill, what was his name?
Bob McAllister. All right, go ahead. So they yell something and they freeze.
Well, it was weird. They make you stand away from the machine and they start screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all, it's like some like a you know, pack of monkeys that start, that howl goes through the troop.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make you back. I've never been through that before. There's some sort of breach.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen this?
No. They just stopped everything. Somebody made it pass.
I guess. And somebody goes, ah! And they all yell the same thing. All of them, all over the airport. And everybody stopped. They make everyone stop.
Really?
Spot. Yeah, I've never seen like this. And then they sort of yell all clear, and then I go back.
Seems to be different, which is one of these interesting things that every airport seems to be a little bit different, which is a weird thing to monkey with.
Yes.
McDonald's and Jack in the Boxes have much more uniformity than airport security does, which is one of these things because it's a federal thing. Like, why wouldn't they all be laid out almost exactly the same with the same equipment and the same protocol? Like, hey, at Logan, you got to take your shoes off, but at LAX, you don't have to take your shoes off. Like, really? You don't want to just decide on which one you
do? LAX recently has hired the angriest people.
They
really just become incredibly angry.
Yeah, well, you'd be angry.
Hostile. It's like, what?
No, well, they're hostile because, A, first off, security is, basically here's how it goes. It goes Job Corps, it goes military, and then it goes security. And this sort
are you going up the food chain
or
down?
Yeah, I'm going up.
Okay.
But that's the sort of, well, Job Corps is criminals.
Okay.
You go to job, you get your choice between juvenile hall and digging fire lines in the Angeles Cresta Highway up there. That's that. And then military's just, I don't want to go to junior college. I'd rather fire a gun. And then security is, I've been busted so many times, I think I know a lot about the security at this point. So, when you've been cuffed as many times as I have and had as many run-ins with the man. I mean, think about this, losers in all facets of security. All facets. I mean, here's what it is. Security's like Secret Service and then a free fall. just a 2-hour long.
It's FBI.
Yeah, okay. It's like,
that's not really security.
Okay, let's just like Secret Service, and then there's the guy you run to backstage at the Weenie Roast who won't let you on stage, even though you have to announce the next band or you're in the band. Here's what I do. I'm two members of KISS, and I have to announce
and
it.
And
I have
to
bring them on stage. Could I get out?
Yeah,
no, can't do it. So that's my point. You're dealing with the bottom of the barrel, and then it's L.A. So you not only have the bottom of the barrel, but you have the angry people who are all out here. It's not, it's not Georgia.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have an angry city with the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. It's great. It's a great experience. And take your shoes off. The guy rips down the wand. I wouldn't mind if they just. I got singled out and had to be felt up out of line.
Yeah.
I don't. They tell you what they're going to do. I'm going to reach around your groin now, sir. I'm going to reach around. I'm going to use the back of my hand. They use the back of their hand, which is in a weird.
Weirder.
Yeah. It's like, hey, that's my weirdo uncle used to do that to me when I was 9. He'd do the back rub thing. He wouldn't do the front of the hand. He didn't want to get any prints on my underwear. It was awesome, but. Yeah, the backhand creepier, and just go ahead and feel up, buddy. I don't need the whole, here's what I'm doing. Now, sir, I'm taking my inner knuckle, and I'm going to rub it against your left sack, and now I'm going right sack. Now I'm going sphincter with ring pinky knuckle. All backhand, by the way. Backhand. That's nice. That's awesome. All right. Let's should we take a break? You want to speak to, yeast infection? Come
how
on.
About, how about two? What's that?
Two? Line two?
Yeah.
What's your take on medical marijuana? Oh, there's a bill in Congress. Zachary?
Yeah, hey, Adam. Hey, Drew.
Yeah, 22. Hey.
22. What's happening?
Not much. Just driving on the freeway. LTL, FTC. I'm calling to get Drew's take on medicinal marijuana going to the Senate for vote this summer and see what Adam's take is too on it. I'm currently a patient of medical marijuana, so it's
okay.
You are.
Zachary, a couple things.
Hold on, what are you doing with medical
marijuana?
Hold
on, I'll tell you what he's doing in a second. Let me tell you.
You don't know?
No, hold on.
He knows what's up.
Okay. I am generally in favor of these bills. Okay. I think our the lack of a rational approach to this drug is creating serious problems.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get much more rational, particularly as it pertains to research and medical use. We give opiates to opiate addicts if it helps them decrease suffering. Why can't we give marijuana to marijuana addicts if it helps them at the end of life?
I'll tell you why, Drew. Slippery slope, my friend.
I know, slippery slope.
Slippery slope.
And Zachary, what I will tell you is I've never received a request for medical marijuana from other than a marijuana addict.
Right.
Non-addicts are not interested in medical marijuana. And when I offer Marinol to the addicts that ask for medical marijuana, not interested because it doesn't make you high the way the regular marijuana does. You're interested in being on marijuana, and if that helps you with your medical problems and you're not interested in getting off, fine.
What medical problem do you have?
Chronic backache.
Yes. Chronic backache would magically go away if you rub the butt. But be that as it may.
Wow, Tom. Tickled by it.
I know it does. It's an opioid effect for some people.
Giddy about this.
But
chronic
some
back
of the
pain.
Marijuana, the CB1 and CB2 receptor antagonists, blocking agents, these marijuana receptor blockers are going to be some of the most important medications going forward that we're going to see in the next 5 to 10 years. Mm. So I'm a huge advocate of liberalizing the research
slippery
of marijuana.
Slippery slope, Drew. Slippery slope. Let me tell you what happens. You legalize this contraband, this narcotic for consumption for people with so-called injuries or conditions. Next thing you know, you got jackbooted thugs kicking in your front door, taking your infant, opening its mouth, massaging its throat, and forcing full marijuana plants down his throat. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
That's what's
slope.
Next. It's slippery slope. It's the same
It'll
way.
It'll take a few weeks for that to happen, too. It'll happen immediately.
A few weeks. That's optimistic. Yeah. I have it down to hours.
Yeah.
No, you're forcing people who don't want to take marijuana. You're actually before the government will be forcing them to take it, and then you create a black market. I always like the scheme ones that involves guys in vans going to Nevada and buying things.
Here's the problem.
As it is,
we got guys like Zachary, who's a full blown marijuana addict, using it, and no one is really monitoring and exploring this.
Zachary.
Carefully.
Yeah.
Well, his name's Zach, and he's calling from Santa Barbara, so he really didn't stand a chance. It was like, someone just handed you a bong when you were born. There you go, buddy.
They basically did.
There's a bong. Yeah, we had his bong bronzed, actually.
Your back pain will magically go away, Zachary.
Car,
just FYI, if you could maintain sobriety for about 3 months, that back pain will get a lot better.
Well, well, listen, you're going to live in Santa Barbara. You might as well just smoke weed anyway. Wait, there's nothing going on. Just enjoy the view.
Yeah.
Enjoy the sea air. But would you consider yourself a marijuana addict, Zachary?
Oh, I definitely am. I mean, I've been smoking marijuana for 4 years. I only became a patient this past year. It just helps me with a lot in my life, more than just a little bit. And it's something I do recreationally. It's something I don't do at parties.
No, I know. It's like giving, opiate or methadone or buprenorphine to an opiate addict.
How'd you hurt your back?
Lots of labor working as a courier for.
No,
doesn't have a back end.
No, you don't have a back end.
Yeah,
you're
part of the Job Corps right now. I am cutting line on the Angeles Crest. So
wow, really? How weird is that?
Are you really on the Angeles Crest?
No, well, I'm in. I'm on the San Bernardino National Forest. I'm cutting line up there with the forest crew up there.
I'll tell you, you are with the elite, the who's who of young felons from this country.
Yeah, we're working with people in the prison program. So
that's awesome.
Wow.
But people don't know, Job Corps, it's prison with a shovel. Is basically what it is.
You got to admire Zachary too. Zachary, do you consider yourself marijuana? Oh, absolutely.
It does.
I'm completely strung out.
By the way, cutting fire lines when you have a chronic back problem, that's a tough gig. On the other hand, you're 22, you've never had an injury, so you don't have any back problems.
The opiate effect in the pot causes the back pain. I know that's a stretch for you to believe, but I treat this all the time, and you'll be surprised how the pain magic goes away when you get off all drugs for about 3 to 6 months.
Well, look, I'm really starting to believe that back pain is almost just a description of an emotional condition that sort of ends up in your back. I do know it firsthand. I used to have a lot of back pain.
Yeah. When you're depressed.
You're depressed, you get a lot of... It's not made up. I mean...
You feel it. Oh, it hurts.
You can't get out of bed some mornings. Yeah. You can't turn your head. You get these kinks in your neck and the pinched nerves and whatever you want to call them, stingers, whatever it is.
But it's not because they're discs pushing on the nerve. It's because of something in the central nervous system.
Yeah, but look, if you can give yourself diarrhea... Through
being stressed,
or if you can vomit because you're stressed out, or you can
headaches because you're stressed,
whatever. One,
why
you can certainly
you
pinch your neck
of
up.
Course, of
that's
course.
That's nothing. All right, Tom Burbine here, one of like I said, the largest Dodge Ram retailers in Southern California, and teaches. I'm just gonna say astrophysics. It's
close enough,
and it's close enough. He's out here. He dropped 15 grand just to hang out with us for the tsunami relief.
You're not giving
fund.
Him a chance to talk.
No,
buddy. He's tired.
No, I'm just enthralled just to be in your presence. Is can I do some ass kissing?
Wait, hold on a second, Tom. I want you to write
just make some notes.
Make a note right at. I want you to really sit down with your thoughts for a second. I'm going to give you a piece of paper.
Oh, thank you.
We got to take a break.
Okay.
But Tom's going to do some world class ass kissing when we come back.
Hello. Who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tom Burbine is here tonight. Tom invested 15 large to the Tsunami Relief Fund very generously. He is out here from, I don't know where in Massachusetts. And he's a brilliant guy. And don't believe me. You don't think he's brilliant? Well, just listen to the praise he's going to heap on moi.
Yeah. Adam, you are a comic genius, and
yes.
I think it's a travesty that the entertainment community has never recognized your brilliance. You've never been nominated for an Emmy, Academy Award. I went on the Internet Movie Database, and the awards and nominations is blank for you.
What, really? No Academy Award? I didn't get the nod this year?
No Emmys? No anything, because Jimmy Kimmel has won. He won an Emmy and nominated for Emmy for being hosted to Ben Stein.
Oh.
So he has a link, but you have not no link for awards and nominations. And
right. Hold on a second. First off, I beg to differ, because we won a Shine Award.
That's right. We did. Three of them.
Although you'd probably find that under Caroline Ray's name, because her name was prominently displayed on the thing so much so that I had to take a Sharpie and take her name off because people don't think it's my award. Also, I did get not an award, but a certificate for finishing a pig's trough at Farrell's
in
1974.
Well done.
See? That should have been listed on there, but keep going. It's a plaque. It's suitable for framing. It's not something I like to brag about, but I did finish it off. Just a little help for my stepdad.
And let me, you want to know the funniest joke I ever heard you tell on the show?
Yes, I would. But hold on. If it's not funny, I'm going to kill myself because that's my funniest joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right.
You and Dr. Drew were talking about how prevalent oral sex was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Adam, had the classic one-liner. You said if you were getting oral sex in high school, you'd be printing out leaflets.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's a
savage. And I laugh every
time. It wasn't a joke, by the way. He's serious.
Yeah.
Serious.
And it's something like Bob Hope or Jack Benny would never have thought of, never have told.
No. Those hacks. No, they don't have my genius. So they do probably have a couple Emmys and maybe an Oscar in the closet.
And if you were not on the show, I would have probably bid $20, $30,
$50. Wow.
But because you were on the show, I did the bidding.
1%. Thank you.
And you got to remember, this $15,000 is approximately about, for this year, about 30% of my salary. So pretty much I'm going to be wiped out financially for years or maybe decades.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting, you know, I was inspired by Tom's can-do attitude. And when I learned, now here's the thing, when we found out, we started talking 2 months ago about this raising money for the tsunami relief thing, I thought, well, first, winning bid for this show is going to be $1,400-$1,500. That was my first thought.
Yes.
My second thought was going to be, we're going to get some trust fund baby comes in here. We're going to get some guy. He owns the nudie places down by the airport, and he's making money hand over fist because he got clipped on his Harley by a shell truck, and he's made millions in court or something. I just thought we're going to have that. I didn't know we're going to have two hardworking guys, two guys who know the value of a dollar coming in here. And when I found out that Tom basically is donating the amount he makes teaching for a summer session in his astrology class, I was inspired. And then I thought, you know, so my first impulse is, wow, this guy is not, you know, it's not like he makes $1 million a year and he's parting with a very small percentage of his yearly income. He's parting with almost 30%, as he said, of his annual intake. And he said, I believe he said when we were talking to him, it's just something he wanted to do.
It was one of your
lifelong guy. Once I heard the auction, I said, this is the only way I'm going to get on the show. I'm not a writer. I don't have big breasts. I'm not an author. I'm not a musician. So I said, and I just said, this is mine. So I decided I'm going to bid whatever it was. I was going to take it, and I was able to get it.
But there's a thing that's sort of inspiring in that Tom had a goal and had a dream, and he went through life, or his his trajectory in life is, I got things I want to do and I'm going to do them.
And he waits for the opportunity.
Instead of sitting around and thinking about worst case scenarios and what could happen and what could go wrong.
What are the other life goals?
I'd like to, a link on the internet movie database, do something so I have some type of link on there.
And IMDb.
IMDb.
Why don't you shoot Drew?
Yes. And then,
I think that would get you on.
Yes. And my trial. And then I also always wanted to write a book, so I hopefully can be on Amazon.com and write a book on asteroids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, you could write a book on
asteroids. All the stuff we were at, I think a lot of people be interested in the stuff we were talking about at dinner.
Yeah, you got to do is you got to come up with some crackpot theory that you can't really support, but it's got to be a real doomsday theory, then you make the
not
circuit.
Not a theory so much as a headline out of it.
You say we sell it. They sell it when you're going to be on.
All right, what's the title?
CNN.
What's the title going to be? Adam's going to help you here. Yes. He's very good at this kind of thing.
I think it's gonna be called Duck. While you're going to be smashed by an asteroid. Okay. And then you do some calculations that no TV host can really keep up with that basically says somewhere within the next 8 years, something the size of Texas will actually, ironically, only hit Texas. So it's just going to be replaced. Texas is going to hit Texas. And not only is your theory going to be the size of Texas, the exact same shape.
And land right on the border.
Land right on it. Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's happened three times. We don't even know it. It's like Texas got paved over. It happens at night. No one even knows. Yeah. So that's the thing. The size of Texas, but the shape of Texas, and it's actually going to hit Texas, and it's not spilling into Arkansas or anywhere else. It's just pow. What else is on the border?
So duck, y'all.
Yeah, duck, y'all.
Okay.
All right.
And you want a commission if the book starts selling?
No. Now, you got to save up for your next appearance.
Yes.
I've worked it out, Tom, too. I know it's the $15,000 to come on the show and hang out tonight. Yeah. But I thought, I'll have lunch with you tomorrow for like $3,500. You know what I mean? I mean, just kind of between us.
Yeah. Have you ever done this before? Have you ever sold a place on the show?
No.
Well, except for the other guy.
The other guy.
Did the exact same thing you're doing. Yeah. But other than the other guy doing the exact same thing you're doing, it's never happened before.
Yeah. My only goal was to be a better guest than him, so that was my goal.
Listen, if you would have just belched and passed out, you would have. No, he's a dear friend. No, but Tom, come on, you're Tom. You're the Tomster. You're the Tomiak.
Yeah, once I brought the presents, I knew I could bring you over.
Tomiak.
He's a Tomiak on the floor, everybody. The Tommeister. All right, let's take a break.
No, what's up?
Baba? Caller, female Drew?
Mm-hmm.
You're 22?
Mm-hmm.
Drew, hot name for a chick.
Actually, it's Andrea, but Drew's my nickname.
Still, that's what happens when you're too hot for Andrea. They kick you up to Drew.
Nice.
What is up?
I have no idea.
See, you are good looking, right?
Yeah, I'm a fairly attractive woman. Yeah, you could say that.
Mm-hmm.
Could say that.
All right.
And your question?
I've had overly large breasts since I was in the sixth grade.
Wow.
And
you have a tough life?
Yeah.
I've had a lot of stares.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a tough life, but a lot of stares. And, you know, now I'm 23, and my breasts are starting to sag, and I've noticed a lot of, shoulder pain. And I always thought that girls that complained of shoulder pain that had big breasts, it was just a bunch of crap because they were, you know, wusses or whatever. But it really is hurting me, and I don't know if I should get a breast lift or a breast reduction.
Well, hold on now. What size are
you? I'm like a 38D. I'm really big. I am. And I'm not a big girl, you know, as far as, you know, me being thickness-wise, no.
How tall are you?
I'm about 5'6".
How much you weigh?
About 135, 145.
We got to do some radio math. let me tell you how the radio math usually works. Usually, about 5'6 and 135 will add about 10% on the weight. But when you go 135, 145 now we're bumped up into the 20 percentile. Yes.
Yeah, but doesn't she get a special deduction for the name?
Drew?
The hot name, the hot attitude.
Yeah, but now I'm starting to wonder.
I think she got the name when she was like 15 or 16.
She just
kept it.
So, 5'6", 135, 145.
Did she say that?
Yes,
she did.
135, 145? Yeah.
You're talking to a streetwise genius book smart genius.
Let me see. You take the square root of 72, multiply an exponent, factor out.
Hold on. Slow, Slow down, Einstein. Let me see. Okay, so what was that again?
Square root of 72, and then you take an exponent, and you want to do a factorial, and then you want to you want to divide by 52.6.
Slow down, 52.6.
So you need to do a natural log in there?
Yeah, yeah. You want a log and...
corn log or cheese log? What kind of
natural
log?
Natural log.
Natural log. I'm going to put corn.
Log base E.
Okay. Log, and what else?
You want to, and you probably want to square it too, and then to the 3/2 power.
Okay, I think I'm almost there. Drew, what's 2 times 3?
That's Tom. He's sitting at the
Tom, 2 times 3?
It's six, usually.
And
usually. Yeah. Okay. Unless you're an imaginary number.
Yeah, imaginary number.
2 times 3 is 6, and then 1 times 2, is that still 2?
Yeah, still 2.
So 1 times, but what's like 1 times 8?
Still 8.
That's 2?
Still 8. That's
no, okay.
Not 2, that's 8.
Okay, so let me just you know, just
what would be imaginary
judge,
numbers?
Eyes, yes.
Yes.
We just make sure.
Square root of -1.
1 times 4 is 4, but like 1 times 9 is still, is 9 too?
Yes.
Or is 4?
Yeah.
Okay. That's 4, 4. 10 plus 2 is what, Drew? Tom?
10 plus 2 is 12.
Okay. Okay. I have 5, 4, and 13 sixteenths, and I have 153. Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was some of the most elaborate radio math we've ever
makes
done.
Makes it more accurate.
On a gal. It's hard to argue with this kind of world-class number crunching that's going on in here tonight. So here's what we would have to say. You can consult the plastic surgeon. Uh-huh. I've talked to plastic surgeons about this many times.
There really is no lift.
There's not really a lift, although Dr. Marcel, who's usually so coked up I can't understand him when he does the show, for the first 5 years I talked to him, he said there's no such thing as a lift. And then last time he was on the show, when someone wanted a lift, I was like, well, you can't get a lift. And he said, no, absolutely, they do them all the time. So I have no idea what that he's talking about anymore. The point is it's probably more reduction than it is a lift.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And you should consult that. But also, I bet if you got down 15 pounds, you might lose some chest size, too.
Right, right.
That always happens.
Right. Okay, well,
so
there you go.
And do that.
Start there and then go consult, yeah?
You got it. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
All right, baby doll. All right. Well, when
it was interesting
when she
started her conversation, she sort of wanted you to be hold for a few minutes. Remember that?
Yeah.
Just
she
take
got
me
humbled
in.
A little. Yeah. When we come back, we're going to calculate areola circumference with Tom Burbine.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be awesome.
Thank you.
After this. Hey, y'all. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. It's Dr. Drew. Our dear friend Tom is here. He's donated quite a lump to the Tsunami Relief Fund. And how liberating it must be to be like Tom. Drew, look at you in your gilded cage, trapped.
I actually was able to take it off my taxes, so I saved about $4,000 in taxes because I donated the money. But the problem is I'm 99% sure I'm going to be audited because my donation went from zero to $15,000. So I think that puts up red flags with the government. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to look out for your type. Slick snake oil salesman. Yeah, we've seen your type. All right, Drew, I want to talk to Bernice, who I think called last week.
Yep.
Bernice?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you call us last week?
Yes, I did.
And, you were driving around drunk with your teacher.
Let me see if I can. I'll have to give you my powers of recollection. Teacher from your school wanted to meet you outside about
4
a.m. Yeah. And plied you with a little booze. I guess you. Then you passed out, and when you woke up, it was about noontime, and he was driving around with you in the car. You think he gave you a roofie.
Yeah, and I was remembering what you told me about how alcoholics are prone to blackouts. So.
That and the fact that you drank certainly enough to cause you to not just blackout, but pass out. You don't need the roofie to make your story complete.
I see.
Yeah, no, here, let me just clear it up for everyone. We have a lot of people say... I know a guy slipped me a roofie, and it's like, what happened? Well, it was St. Patrick's Day. I drank a pony keg, and then I did a couple of anal funnels full of grain alcohol, and then I passed out. I'm pretty sure he gave me a roofie.
Right, right.
You,
and I'm 14. I weigh 38 pounds.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
No.
You drank. You drank, and it's not what he did isn't any better, but. You don't need it. You drink a bottle of Jack. You don't need a roofie.
Yeah, don't get around. I wouldn't go down the roofie path so much. It's not as important as the fact that even just that the guy met you at 4 in the morning, drove with you in his car.
Yeah.
So, and gave you a substance.
And he was a teacher at your school, right?
Mm. Were you molested before? Or?
Excuse me?
Ooh.
Were you molested when you were younger?
No.
No?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Little beat there. So what happened? Your parents found out about it or you told them?
No, I wrote it in my journal. And I left it at school once, and I left it in my backpack, and I guess they were trying to see whose backpack it was, and they actually opened it and read it and found out about it, and the school actually, you know, reported it and everything. And actually what I wanted to ask you is, how can I not make this happen? Because I don't want to press charges.
Well, first off,
it's not up to you, I don't think.
It may be too late for that, but here's the thing.
I don't have any proof. I didn't write any names.
I didn't write any names?
Yeah.
All right. What isn't there some sort of, like, attorney-client privilege between a chick and her diary, by the way, that's, like, not admissible in court or something? Are they putting the screws to you? I mean, look, here's the thing. You should do something about this. This guy's a criminal. And he needs to be, you know, brought to justice without sounding corny. On the other hand, if you're just looking for a way to get out of it and just say you made it up, in which case everyone will just think you're a nut job.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds either bogus or like you're crying out for some attention or help.
Right.
You wouldn't put the journal in your backpack and bring it to school unless you want people to find it.
Well, either this is a bogus call.
Or
this is a very disturbed situation, and people hopefully at school will refer you for some help.
Yes.
And that this person will be taken to task appropriately. He certainly shouldn't be teaching kids to protect himself and to protect other people. And it sounds like he needs some kind of treatment as well.
Yeah.
And certainly in your situation, Bernice, you need a lot of help. So
why not just go throw yourself on the mercy of the powers that be? You're not going to get into trouble.
Yeah, let them help.
How about
you.
It? Let them help you.
Well,
why go through with this rain cloud over your head? It's just like there's something liberating about just throwing yourself, just being free. How about
just following directions?
Yeah, just go talk to your counselor. How about it?
I've been in therapy for about 6 months now.
Talk to your therapist about it.
Talk to your therapist about it.
No.
Oh, well, not therapy.
Right. Well, then stop bothering us, would you please?
That's not therapy, Bernice. I don't know what that is, but that's not therapy.
Well, look, I don't care what it is, but if you're going to call the show and ask for our advice and you don't want to take it, then don't call the show anymore, please. All right? Thanks. Good. I know I sound like a dick, but this is the second time you've called. It's the second time we've told you what our opinion is and what you need to do. And
well, it's a serious situation.
Second time you told us
it's a serious situation.
It is. Talk to your therapist about it.
It's a very serious situation, and it feels very helpless to us.
Well,
somebody in this horrible situation.
I'm not minimizing what's happened to her or how difficult it is. But I have no choice. Here's what you tell us what to do. You tell us what the problem is, we'll tell you what to do, and if you say, no, I'm not going to do it, then we got to move on.
You're a dick to a lot of people on the air.
Thank you. Well, she's seen me off the air. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this. Well, that's it. I want to thank Tom Burbine for coming out here. And again, if you're looking for a custom van, RV.
Yeah, if I get fired as a professor, I will... do the vans.
Yeah.
And I'll see you in Pioneer Valley.
I'm going to talk to Amherst College, and I will ensure that you get invited up.
Are you UMass? Even UMass be good?
Yeah. Yeah, I will make sure you get invited
Thank
to speak
you.
Up there.
Well done.
I will go speak to the right people.
Holyoke Smith.
Yeah. They're all holding their breath waiting for Drew to roll in the tent. So, again, Tom Burbine, thank you very much for your generous donation. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo.
And I was also impressed how good-looking you were, because it never gets mentioned on the air.
Now we're getting to it. Now we're getting why. Now we know why up down
why
the 15
here.
Grand
yes,
in cross country.
Oh, and I got to put out too, don't I?
Well, I for 15 mean, grand, yeah, I think that's good
do?
For at least a reach around.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.